You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, Pastor, we are getting started today, or rather this week, we are looking at the concept of grace. And to start us off, we want to understand what grace is as a concept. Just in general terms, in Christianity, the concept of grace is central to the understanding of salvation, emphasizing that it is a gift from God that cannot be earned through human efforts alone. This week, we are going to explore the concept of grace, and we hope that we find hope in the fact that God chose to give us this unmerited favor. So to start us off, we want to understand the basics and definition of what grace truly means. So, Pastor, the first question, what does grace mean in our religious or spiritual context, and why is that important?
To define grace, we would talk about God's everlasting and unconditional love and mercy for human beings.
Right.
God's everlasting and conditional love and mercy for human beings. Mm. But then to further that definition, we can say that love and mercy, that's everlasting and unconditional, was expressed as unmerited favor and deserved forgiveness of human of sins of human beings, just like a free gift through the saving blood of his everlasting son, Jesus Christ. Mm. That's how I would define grace.
Okay, before we get into why it is important, to further ask, based on the definition you gave, why do you think we don't deserve it? Because someone can counter and say, the existence of sin was brought on by the devil, and we are kind of victims to that. So why don't we deserve this grace? Because we've been put in a position in that we are in because of the actions of the devil. Had it not been for him instigating this war, grace wouldn't be, like, unmerited favor wouldn't be necessary. So why do we say it is unmerited? Do we not deserve it? Are we not victims?
It's interesting. Why we don't deserve it, it's because we didn't start it. It was started by God.
Mm.
That favor was started by God. We did nothing about it. We did not do anything to get it. The fact that we sinned did not give us a right to be forgiven. Mm. Uh-huh. We had no right to be forgiven. We could have only been destroyed as the repercussion of our sinning. Mm. But God did not destroy us, because his love for us is everlasting.
Mm.
It is beyond death. I mean, it is beyond sin and death. The love is greater than our sin, and his love is greater than the death that should have occurred against the earth.
Mm, okay, I understand. So then why is grace an important aspect of our walk with Christ, of our faith as Christians? Why is grace such an important part of that?
Grace is so important because without grace, there would be no faith. There would be no relationship with God. Because we were lost. We sinned against him. We could not go back to him.
Right.
It required his own initiative, his own love, his own grace, his own kindness, following us with his mercy to return us back to himself. So it's very, very important, because if we get to the characteristics of grace, you discover that the grace is revelatory.
Mm.
It will reveal God to us. Because our sin hid God.
Right.
I hope you are getting that.
I do understand.
Our sin hid God from us.
Mm.
We could not see him. We could not find him. We could not know him.
Mm.
We got lost.
Mm.
We got lost. So for us to go back to God, God must do another exercise in his grace of revealing himself to us.
Right, right. I understand so, that.
Mm. So grace is reparatory.
So, based on your explanation, I'm now curious: is grace something that we can earn through good works? Like you're saying, we don't deserve it, right? It's unmerited favor. So, does that mean it's something we have to work for? There's a certain standard we have to live by in order for us to qualify for this grace, or is grace just readily available for everybody?
In actual fact, grace is globally available to all sinners everywhere. Did you get that one?
Yes, I'm listening, Pastor.
Grace is globally available to all sinners everywhere, which means that there's nothing that these sinners have done. They're just busy sinning. You know, the sinners are busy sinning because that's their nature.
Right.
They are busy sinning because that's their nature. I mean, he doesn't even blame them, because why should he blame them?
Mm.
They did not choose to be sinners in the first place. It is him who decided that they should exist. And unfortunately, in the course of existing, sin came in.
Right.
Sin came in. So he has no right to blame them.
Mm.
He doesn't have a right to blame them. So what can he do? He simply comes with his grace to say, all I can do, my children, is give you this gift.
Right, right.
My grace, because you have sinned, you didn't intend to sin, but you have sinned anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So here is my grace.
Okay.
So in that way, these human beings who are just sinning, there is nothing they can do to earn that grace. They simply have to lift up their hand for receiving. And the hand they lift up to receive is faith.
So does that excuse us from sin then?
In actual fact, you can see that he doesn't blame us for sinning, and then he brings grace to us.
Mm.
So what is the grace for? The grace that he has sent is to save us from our sins.
Mm.
So there is a power in that grace, a power that will change our nature.
Okay.
Grace is so powerful. Grace is so powerful that you can't accept his grace by faith and remain sinful all the time.
Right.
It's not possible. Once you accept grace by faith, your life is connected to God.
Mm. And therefore, if your life is connected to God, it cannot be connected to sin.
Because your life is connected to God, it means that God now has become operational in your life. He's doing something.
Okay.
He's doing something in your life. Because you acquired a strange nature.
Mm.
A nature that God did not create you with. You remember Adam and Eve?
Mm-hmm.
They were created sinless. They were created sinless. So that was the nature that God created them with. And now that they sinned, they developed a different nature altogether.
Mm.
So grace must come in by faith only. By faith only. Mm.
Mm.
Not by works, but just by faith alone.
Okay.
By faith alone. The sinner receives that grace by faith, trusts in Jesus Christ, trusts in the Lord, and then the Lord begins to connect himself with that sinner. To start a work in the sinner that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. A work of transforming. So grace is transformatory or transformative. Yeah. Grace is so transformational. It can't just leave me the way I was.
It has to change that, you.
That will not be grace. That will not be grace.
It won't. So then, how do things like divine mercy and forgiveness help us understand grace better? Help us understand how much, like, the weight of what grace truly is? How can mercy and forgiveness, the mercy and forgiveness of God, help us understand that better?
In fact, when you talk about the mercy and forgiveness of God, you also have to think about the redemptive nature of grace. You see, when we use the word redemptive, we are talking about purchasing something back. You are talking about giving something in exchange. So for an exchange with our sin, God had to offer his own son as a lamb of sacrifice to shed blood. That's part of the grace. The shedding of blood on the part of Jesus Christ on the cross was the climax of God's grace for us. So for forgiveness to be accomplished, because, you know, forgiveness could not be offered if there was no sacrifice. If there was no shedding of blood, by Jesus Christ, So the reason I said to you, grace is everlasting. It's because God had the futuristic eyes. He saw us before we sinned. He saw us before we sinned. And he, in seeing us before we sinned, he created a method of meeting the tragedy of sin.
Right.
Through his son, Jesus Christ. So we can say that Jesus was given to us even before the world was created. In fact, sometimes I enjoy myself and say, he saved me before he saved me.
Right.
That's the grace itself. So forgiveness in that case, is something which God has already made ready for me before I sinned. Forgiveness is already there before I even sinned. By the time I sin, as soon as I sin, no sooner do I sin than forgiveness comes in immediately.
Right.
Immediately. Through that grace now.
Wow.
So forgiveness is so important, such an important part of grace, because God just offers it free of charge.
Right.
Because the expense that is supposed to be paid for that forgiveness was paid in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the cost. So if you ask me, what's the cost of forgiveness? I'll tell you, forgiveness is so expensive that nobody would have paid it except the Holy One of Israel. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen, indeed. Okay, now you've answered what are some of the key characteristics of grace. I don't know if you have more, but I feel like...
I have more.
Okay,
I have more.
Please.
Let me give you one more.
Yes.
As I said, grace is everlasting. It is from eternity to eternity. Grace is liberatory. It makes God reveal himself to us, even though we are lost. Grace is redemptive. It pays a cost of his blood for us in order to justify us freely. Grace is relational. Is a relational package in the Godhead. Did you get that one?
Yes. Yes.
Grace is a relational package in the Godhead. Because it is the love of God, it is the peace of Jesus, and it is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have packaged grace as a relational factor within themselves in their relationship with us. And in that, and as such, grace connects the sinner with the throne of God, with the mercy seat. And grace has a multiplier factor, because it increases, it multiplies. Grace, when you receive the grace, immediately you receive the grace, it begins to multiply itself unlimitedly to abundance that cannot be measured. So it's grace that is multiplying all the time in your life. And not only in the in your life, but also in the lives of those you get in touch with.
Wow.
And then grace is wrapped in truth and glory. Grace is wrapped in truth and glory. There can be no grace where there is no truth. I hope you got that one clear. There can be no grace
where there is no truth.
Where there is not truth. People will claim to be in the grace of God, but as long as they are connected to falsehood, that grace will not be materializing in their lives. And then it is also connected to glory, because the one who came to be human was full of grace and full of glory, full of truth. And then I was also saying, grace reproduces Christ in the human being. Grace reproduces Christ in the human being.
Right.
So as I go on with my faith and my relationship with God, God changes me into the similitude of his son. So grace is evidence-based, has evidence-based visibility and verifiability. If you claim to be in the grace of Jesus Christ, there must be evidence, and that evidence must be visible and verifiable. I can't just claim to be in the grace of Christ and then nothing shows.
Outwardly, yeah.
Now I'm in the grace. Nothing shows.
Nothing.
No, there must be very verifiable visibility of that grace outside me. And then finally, I said, grace is has a total immeasurable sufficiency for all human conditions. Total immeasurable sufficiency for all human conditions. Is it a condition of sinfulness? It is sufficient. Grace is sufficient. Is it a condition of economic issues, or maybe health issues? Is it economics of persecution, whatever condition that creates itself in the sinful world, grace is sufficient for that condition.
Right.
That's another characteristic I saw.
That is. And the part where you say that it reproduces Christ in the human being, and that you cannot have grace, but it doesn't outwardly show, it segues very perfectly with the last question of the session to say then, how does grace exist in us? And how is it displayed with our relationship with others? Because we've been speaking about the grace of God towards us. What about now grace shining from within us towards our fellow human beings? How does that work? Or do we have the capability of possessing grace the same way God does towards each other?
I like that question. It's a very important question. You remember I told you that grace is a relational package in the Godhead?
Yes.
A relational package. So that relational dimension is what brings the importance of your question. Because one of the evidence of grace in my life is in how I relate to you.
Right.
And how you relate to me. and how I relate to people who have not accepted Jesus Christ. How do I accommodate the fact that they are human beings, even though they are so sinful and wicked? How do I tolerate their existence, their presence? What attitude do I have to people who are not like Christ and are not like me? What amount of humility has grace created in me that I will not be boasting around? So it's like the relationship factor is so important, because grace is centrally love and peace and fellowship. So if grace is operating in me, I will love my family, I will love my neighbors, I will love my workmates. There will be love flowing out of me to people who don't even expect me to love them.
That's true.
They'll find me loving them. And they'll be surprised. Why does this man love me? Because I am made of love by God. His grace has created a relational factor around me that is attracting others by love, by goodness. I am a light. I'm a light around. A light around. Because Christ, as Christ reproduces himself in me through grace, as Christ reproduces himself in me through grace, that factor cannot be hidden from people around. From people around. And my relationship with them will be based on my humility and my love for them. So when you find us fighting, when you find us fighting and disuniting and calling each other names, despising one another, you should know that there is a problem on the part of grace there. Do you know that? Do you know that grace respects choices? Grace can be respected. Grace can be accepted. Grace can be rejected. Grace can be despised. Grace can be insulted. Grace can be lost. Grace can be rendered useless. Grace can be received in vain. And grace can be disregarded. But when there is grace in us, it translates into very good relationship with others, because one other thing that happens is that the commandment which says love your neighbor as you love yourself, that commandment is effected inside you by the power of grace.
Right.
Because on our own, we can't love the others, we love ourselves. Until grace is operational in us.
That is fascinating, Pastor. And I think as we unpack more of grace this week, we are truly going to discover the power of grace. I feel like even today, you've really done a well-rounded explanation of what grace is, that if we had to stop here, people wouldn't necessarily have questions left, but we have interesting subtopics for the rest of the week. So I'm looking forward to how we unpack grace as we keep moving forward. But for today, we'll end here. So thank you so much, Pastor, for your time.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. And have a lovely afternoon. That was Pastor Chiwanda. And that is the end of our conversation with him. And I hope that you did gain some substance from what he had to say, because I surely did. Thank you for listening.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.